Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Praise God. Hallelujah. If you would, open up your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew 27. You know, there's been a lot going on in the church here, especially in the last few years, if you've been paying attention. And I think one of the things we see as pastors, you know, over the years, I've talked to many different pastors here in different places. We've been pastoring for 19 years now. It doesn't seem that long. But whenever we have a meeting such as this, it's easy to get people to come. People show up. But whenever, and I've heard many pastors say this, whenever we have intercessory prayer, you'll only get a handful of people show up. You know, the old church, when I talk about the old church, I'm talking about the New Testament church. They knew something. Even 100 years ago, they knew something that we didn't know. They walked in some things that we're not walking in. Why? There's a lot of distractions today. I mean, you got to realize, I'll tell on myself. I'm driving home today, and I said, Lord, I just want to hear from you. And 15 seconds later, I get a ding, and I'm picking up my phone, and the Lord says, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, wow. We're so easily distracted. We don't pay attention to the more important things. And what's happened over the years is we've kind of drifted away from our first love in a lot of sense. And we don't even really realize it until it comes time to pray and talk to God. And that's what I want to kind of talk about tonight is our identity, who we are. Pastor kind of alluded to it. When we were back there, I was like, oh, don't tell me he's going to preach my message. But in Matthew 27, you there? And, let me get there. Matthew 27, you know, and even the praise team was singing about it tonight. In Matthew 27, I'm going to pick it up in verse 50. It says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of those graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Something happened there. Something of great consequence happened when that veil was torn. I think we've not been reminded enough of. We know the scriptures, we've heard the words many times, but see, if you're not constantly looking at them or are constantly seeking after the Lord, it just goes in one ear and out the other. You get distracted. When that veil was torn, we went from an Old Testament priest to a new creation. The Old Testament priests had to watch how they went in to the Holy of Holies, and they only went in once a year. When this veil was torn, we were given the ability to go in all the time. Just, we lived there. But the Old Testament priest, he had to watch when he went in, because if he did something wrong, it was over. That's why they tied a rope on his leg, because they couldn't go in after him. You say, well, that's kind of mean of God. Well, hold it. Look what happened to the Ark of Covenant. A guy died because he didn't handle that right. How much more for a priest in the Old Testament? But see, things changed right here. When that veil was torn, it enabled us to go in. But see, we go in differently now. How we go in is still important. I'm not saying if you go in the wrong way, you'll die. But I would say it this way, things that you're believing God for will. Yeah. because you're not handling them right. Yeah. James said it this way, you have not because you ask not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, when you ask, you're not asking the right way. Now, I know everybody in here heard the word of faith. You believe the word of faith. We're faith people. But still, there's right ways to do things and wrong ways to do things. And if we forget that, if we take our focus off that and we get back to doing things a different way, we get distracted, we miss God. We miss God. Go with me to 1 John. 1 John. I'm going to read to you from the Amplified Classic here. First John chapter 1. And I believe the gentleman's name that wrote this book about works in New Testament is Mark Vincent. He's got a book out there that goes in detail about Scripture and what it says. And that's where the Amplified Classic gets some of this stuff from. In 1 John chapter 1, let's pick it up here in verse 2. It says, "And the life and aspect of his being was revealed, made manifest, demonstrated, and we saw as eyewitnesses, and are testifying to, and we declare to you the life, the eternal life in him, who already existed with the Father and who actually was made visible, was revealed to us, his followers." Verse 3. "What we have seen and ourselves heard, we are also telling you so that you too may realize and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. And this fellowship that we have, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah." Your fellowship is with the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No man goes to where? The Father, but by him. So see, Jesus is pointing out to us the destination's not him. The destination's the Father. Out of that relationship comes everything in life. Everything. What you're to do, who you're to marry. See, the Old Testament, the New Testament saints, and people even years ago, they knew this. Because why? They weren't distracted with TV. They didn't have TV. They sat and read their Bibles. They went to church. I mean, Pastor Mark and I, not here recently, but we were talking one time about how years ago, we remember the days when you could have a service on Wednesday and it go all the way through Sunday. Or how about Brother Hagin come into a city, he'd be there 3 and 4 weeks. You couldn't do that today. Brother Copeland does pretty good at Southwest Believers Conference. But everybody has to come from all over to there. Why? Because people don't understand how to pray. They think prayer is something special for pastors or the fivefold ministry. No, it's for you and me. All of us are to pray. Your prayer, your fellowship with the Father, that is your function. That is what you and I are called to do. Develop that relationship. I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many people in here, you're asking God for something, for direction for something? You're wanting him to give you a sign. How much time do you spend fellowshipping with him? Is there a chance that maybe that lack of fellowship is not able to receive what heaven has for you? Because of how you see yourself. You see yourself praying from a distance. You see yourself, some days you pray and you have like authority, but then A day or two later, it seems like you got a closed heaven. You heard that term, people said. Feels like a closed heaven. Why? It's how we're identifying ourselves. It's how we're identifying ourselves. Prayer is our legal right. It's not something you do because it's Christian. It's your legal right. It's not something that you aspire to do or you look to others. You know, you look on social media and you'll see people calling out, we need prayers. And I'm hesitant about that because you don't know what these people are praying. Most of them probably are praying, and you even, if you read the comments, it's stuff like, Lord, we're praying for your will to be done. Now you just came in agreement with those people. You said, I'm asking for you to pray for me. And by the way, I'm agreeing with what you say. I'm not agreeing with that. I know it's His will to heal me. I know it's His will to deliver my family. I know it's His will to prosper me. But see, that deepens because as you develop that relationship with the Father, you start to see yourself differently. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Probably look at a few scriptures here tonight. In Revelation 1. Look at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Here's the scripture, verse 6. And hath, not as going to, not someday, but has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Paul said it this way. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You have to understand, you have a treasure in an earthen vessel. You are a priest. You are a king. A priest contacts heaven. Heaven tells the king, and the king speaks to the land. Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there's power. And I like the last part. I always hear that first part, but I like the last part. Who's going to argue with him? Nobody. Nobody. That's what Paul was talking about when he's talking about we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You are priests and kings before God. I just wrote some notes down here concerning a priest. Well, okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. I mentioned the Old Testament, but let's look at this scripture here. And as I was praying about this today, the Lord just started pouring stuff more on me. I've taught this message several times. And it's really kind of I'm kind of adapting it to, I guess, what the Lord's calling me to do, is to teach people about their relationship with the Father. Because I see so many people, I'll ask them, what's the Father showing you? I'm talking about Christians. And they look at me kind of weird, like, what do you mean? What's the Father showing you? Well, I don't know. A distinguishing mark of Christians is their fellowship with the Father. I don't know about you, but the Father's always talking to me. Always. A lot of times I'm not paying attention. I get distracted. Ding! I don't watch TV really. There's not really anything on to watch. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And then Paul said, and I show you a more excellent way. Yeah, as a king and a priest. As I said, 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, speaking of Jesus. Verse 46, howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. When you look at the Old Testament priesthood, that's the natural. Right. New Testament, spiritual. You don't base your priesthood or your kingship on how you feel or your emotions or how you've been living the last 2 or 3 weeks. God appointed it to you. He made you a priest and a king unto Him. That's why Paul said, for God didn't give you a spirit of fear. You go into the throne room in fear. That's going to affect what you're saying to the Father. That's why prayers of worry, oh Lord, help me now, help me now. I like the story I heard. I don't know if it was Brother Hagin or who, but there was a family that was out in a field, and this is back in the 40s and 50s. They were planting and sowing, working the farm. All of a sudden, a storm come up and started blowing and hail started coming down, and they started running to the house. And the wife had the kids, was pulling the young kid along. And she said, oh, Lord, help us, help us, help us. And the son said, Mama, scared prayers don't do no good. You're scared. Prayers of faith. Prayers of faith. So what we see in the Old Testament is the natural, but now the spiritual changes things. When you start to see yourself as a king and a priest, you start talking differently. You ever notice how somebody, when they get born again, you don't even have to tell them. They'll change how they're talking. Uh-huh. I get a kick out of that because it's like, God, you're great. You know, they might slip up and say something wrong, but they're, oh, I didn't mean to say that. But see, God will change your tongue, how you speak. Because what? He's bringing you into the priesthood and kingship. He wants you to walk in that. All right? I made a few notes here about that. When your identity is forgotten, your identity being you're a king and a priest, your prayers sound as a cry from earth instead of a decree. Without authority, you have no certainty. You seem distant due to your emotions. When you remember who you were as a priest and a king, authority comes back. But what happens a lot of times is we make that mistake and we just kind of go on. No, you just, Father, forgive me. I wasn't talking like a king and a priest. See, you've got access. A priest is not timid. He's not a beggar. He's not a stranger. A priest stands by divine appointment. A priest speaks on behalf of heaven. Your priesthood is given, it's not earned. A priest does not pray to get the Father's attention. He prays because he already has it. Whole different attitude. Most people's prayers are, Father, I need to talk to you. He's already listening. He knows what you have need of before you even ask. That's what Jesus said. So why would I want to act like I got to get his attention as a priest? He's hearing me. He's waiting for me. I don't have to get his attention. See, it changes your attitude. And then what that does is as you pray, this is the confidence we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we've asked for. I don't have to keep going back. I already got it. Once I've prayed according to his will, I know he's heard me. I know I have the petitions. When does it come to pass, Pastor? That's not my business. That's not yours. That's his. There's other things going on. But I can tell you what, when you and I pray, all of heaven gets involved. Yes. You've got to know that as a priest and a king, all of heaven gets involved. I remember years ago, there was a commercial on TV. I'm dating myself because most of you probably won't know it. And it was a head cold commercial. And they would take the medication and they would show it that as you took it and it went into your body, all these little things went all over your body. The idea was to heal your body. When we take the word of God and we speak it, all the power of heaven goes to our body, goes to wherever we're speaking it over, and it brings deliverance. Just because you don't see it show up doesn't mean it's not there. See, the devil will try to fight you because he wants to get you. He'll tell you, you're not good enough. You're not holy enough. Remember how you treated those people across the street the other day? No, I'm speaking because this is my position. Now, I should have repented. But Satan needs to know you are his master. If you don't treat Satan like you're his master, that's why you're losing. That's why things aren't coming to pass in your life. You can't play patty cake with him. I like something Smith Wigglesworth said one time. He was at a bus stop. You probably all heard this. We probably should have these stories and just number them. Number 18. Oh, gosh, that was a good one. Yeah, that was a good one. So Wigglesworth is at a bus stop, and the bus pulls up in England. And there's a woman coming down the street. She's got this little dog. And the little dog's chasing her. And she's turning around. She goes, now, go on back home. Go on back home. Well, the dog doesn't, you know, pay no attention to that. He keeps following her. And she keeps stopping every few feet. Go on back home. Go on back home. And finally gets to the bus, and she turns around, stomps her feet, and says, I said get! And that dog hollered and ran on home. And he said, that's how you got to treat the devil. That's how you got to treat the devil. Another story about Smith Wigglesworth. There was a lady who was in a coma in England. And the church had been praying for her for weeks. She's getting worse and worse. Just shrinking up and shriveling up to nothing. And somebody said, you know, there's a man, a God, that he's been praying for people and they get healed. We need to get a hold of him. So they got a hold of Smith and he come over. And he got there, and as he came into the house, he kind of sat down. They said, well, we're going to go up and start praying. He said, go ahead. Do what you got to do. About half an hour later, they come down. He said, are you done? He said, yeah. There's no change in her. Okay. Wigglesworth went up there. In 15 minutes, she's sitting up in bed. 30 minutes, she's putting her clothes on. Within the hour, she's downstairs and she's eating. And they asked Wigglesworth, they said, "We don't understand. We prayed and nothing happened. You pray, she's healed." He said, "It's real simple. When you prayed, you was looking at the problem. When I prayed, I was looking to Jesus." See, a priest looks to Jesus. Here's another thing. I'm kind of going off script here. Is that okay? That's good because I got a bunch of pages there. And that's not even, there's a whole lot more. A lot of times what happens is people pray from a distance, not up close. You find yourself praying to heaven rather than from heaven. The kingdom of God is in you. See, if you don't know that and you believe that and you walk in that authority, you'll pray to heaven. Jesus said, "I can do nothing except I see the Father and I hear the Father." He said, "The works that I do, I don't do them, but the Father who is in me, He does them." He does them. So if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside you and me, and Jesus is inside you and me, and the Father is inside of you and me, where's heaven at? Now, here's the thing that befuddles me. I ain't going to try to wrap my brain around this one. Pastor here, Greg there. Let's use Greg rather than Pastor. Always pick on Pastor. Greg has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? He don't have 1/1,000,000,000th of the Spirit. And you have 1/1,000,000,000th, and you have 1/1,000,000,000th, and you have 1/1,000,000,000th. He has them all. He has the Father, all of the Father in Him, all of the Holy Spirit in Him, all of Jesus in Him. Why do you think we don't see the signs and wonders they saw in past days? We forgot who we are. A priest that forgets his identity will be timid. A king that loses his connection to the throne will be arrogant. Yeah, you've seen a lot of those. We've seen a lot of the others. Go to Hebrews 4. Let's look at another scripture. Hebrews 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I believe the Father wants us to, when we pray, things happen. This group right here, there's enough power in this group right here to change the state of Indiana. If not the country. Hebrews 4. Did I tell you that? Look at verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Boldness is not loud. Boldness is not arrogant. Biblical boldness is confidence. It's confidence. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, just a few pages away. First Peter 2. Remember, the Old Testament was the natural. The New Testament is the spiritual. Verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. How do you get there? As a priest and as a king. People look at scriptures like that and say, well, I just don't think I can be bold. Yes, you can, because you're a priest and a king. It's not based on what you did. It's what he did for you. A lot of times people have the idea that what they're receiving from heaven is what they deserve. You don't want what you deserve. You want what heaven is offering you. You want what heaven is offering you. It's offering you this. You know, they told Jesus when he was talking to the disciples, show us the Father. Right? Remember that scripture?
Yeah.
Show us the Father. He said, how? You all been with me all this time? All this time you have been with me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If they've seen you, they've seen the Father. That's heaven's call. Because the Father's in you. That's what's trying to get out of you.
Yeah.
The Father's trying to get out of you. The world's idea of love and God's idea of love are billions of miles apart. Just love them and let them live. No, that's not love. Somebody's destroying their life and destroying other people's lives. You better stand up as a priest and a king and say, that ain't right. That's what we're called to do. See, when we do things like that, all of heaven's backing you up. Heaven's not, they're not shying away from this. Angels and everybody, they all get involved in this stuff. Your words are so powerful. You know, I'm surprised a lot of this hadn't been taught in Word of Faith circles, because, you know, we're all about the Word. We're all about the Word. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what's inside you. That's what wants out. And you release it. The definition of prayer. Is the Father putting his desires into our hearts. And us speaking those desires back to him out of our lips.
Right.
God will give you the desires of your heart. Uh-huh. Oh, I want to hit the lottery. I'm believing God. I'm going to hit the lottery. Your desires aren't right. You're not speaking what his desires are. That's a corrupt system. People are losing money in the lottery. Households are going under because family members are spending money on a stupid lottery when they need to be buying food and gas and things like that for their family. Heaven had no part of that. But see, that relationship that you have that's ongoing with the Father, as you continually to develop it. And how do you develop it? You continue in His Word. Yeah, you continue in His Word. You know, I downloaded this offline, gave it to everybody in church. This is from Brother Hagin's mini book, In Him Scriptures. 7 pages here. In Him, in whom? What's that talking about? It's talking about us. Ephesians 1:10 here, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. What's He going to do, leave the power in heaven and not bring it here? No, He's gathering it together. There's power right here. The same power that heaven has. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as He has taught you, you will abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him. For as He is in this world. Oh, Pastor, I can't be that. You've turned down your identity. Jesus ain't broke. The Holy Spirit ain't broke. Father's not. They may be grieved by what's going on. But see, that's why He's put us here. Go to Genesis 1. We'll look at this one here. The scripture. You okay? We all right?
Yep.
All right. I had to cut it back from 6 hours down to 3, so I'm kidding. I probably could go that long. But Genesis 1. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. Drop down to verse 27. So God created man in His own image, in the image of God, He created him. The root meaning of that word image is identification. The definition of identification is to treat as the same, identical. He's been telling this from the very beginning. He's been telling us this stuff. But the enemy came in and said, you'll be like God if you disobey.
Right.
He was already God. Go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Famous scripture. We all know it. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus had to identify with us. He had to be just like us. So that what? So we could be just like Him. It's the law of identification. So see, when you get up in the morning and you look in that mirror, the Father sees the Son. you see something different. But the word says if you walk after the flesh, it's death. Walk after the Spirit, life and peace. Life and peace. What's that mean? In the midst of a storm, I can speak to that storm and be at peace. And I can drink me a cup of coffee. There's a storm raging out there, Pastor. Aren't you good? No, it's fine. I just spoke to it. I remember years ago when the tornado went through Newburgh and Evansville and Boonville. We had one of our foster daughters call us in the middle of the night and said, y'all better get up. There's a tornado. It's coming your way. So I run to the front door. I think we may have been here, or we may have just started the church.
No, we were here.
We were still here. And opened the front door. It was hard to even open the storm door because the wind was so strong. And I remember I spoke to that. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get back up there. Pass over this area in the name of Jesus. Well, we found out the next day that's exactly what happened. Now, see, I did not understand things like I do now, because had I would have said, you get up there and stay up there. It left the area that we were in, and it came back down. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You better watch how you talk to people. You better really watch how you speak. If you can't walk in love with people who you do see, you don't love the Father who you don't see. If you can't walk in love with people who you do see, how's God going to manifest in your life? You got to die to yourself. Paul said this way. He said, I buffet my body daily. I know we like to joke and say, I buffet. And yeah, it does look like Pastor does buffet his body. I'm working on that. I'm working on that. But you got to die to yourself. I was so excited. I was pulling out of Walmart, and an older lady pulled right out in front of me. I mean, right out in front of me. I just slammed on the brakes. I just said, thank you, Lord. Bless her. Protect her on the way home. See, there's a time I'd have been honking and yelling and who knows what. There's something spiritual happens when you take this book and you gaze into it. It's alive. The power of heaven comes off these pages and changes you. If we spent more time in this book, we wouldn't have to probably spend as much time on our knees, because we'd know how to pray. We know what to say. We'd be looking for the Father. Father, who do you want me to minister to? I sensed at the beginning of the service, the Lord was saying, he said, I'm going to stir some things up in some embers up in people. Because they felt like they were, not the fire was out, it just wasn't rolling like it used to. Rolling like it used to. Still hot. You look at it, the coals are hot. The Lord said, tonight's your night to stir that back up. That's what this word's for. Just take it and start walking in it. All right? Because the Lord wants you to walk in everything. He's not withholding anything back from you. But you have to see yourself as a priest and a king. When you say things, it has an effect. That's why, really, as Christians, we really shouldn't be joking around. I mean, we got to watch that. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a sense of humor, But you got to watch saying things that kind of hurt people, that cut to people, that maybe put people down that we don't see. You don't think it's bad, but it is. Because there's power in your words. So when you understand that, you hold back on things. It says in Hebrews that we've been sprinkled. Our conscience has been sprinkled. What does that mean? It means you have a clean conscience. With a clean conscience, you can stand before the Father. Boldness means you can stand and have confidence because you have boldness. Boldness gives you confidence to stand before the Father and receive everything heaven has for you. Thank you, Father. Yes. Matthew 6:6. Oh, this will... It did me. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but this just blew me away when I seen this. Matthew 6:6. Jesus is speaking. But thou, when you prayest, enter into your closet. And when you have shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Only a priest can pray in secret. This word closet here, in the Greek, one of the meanings of it is the storehouse. Yeah, the storehouse. Only a priest, in Psalm 91, those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Only a priest can do that. And you are priests. You are kings. See, what we saw in the Old Testament was the natural. In the New Testament, we see the spiritual. You got to pull those things through the cross. That's why Jesus died for us, because he was like us. He identified with us, and we can identify with him. Something Dr. Norman said, he said, Jesus had to kill you so he could raise you. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. See, those weren't written just so we could have good songs. They're telling us who we are, what we have. So I don't care what it is you're facing against, what's coming against, whatever problem, it's not that big. It may present itself like a big problem, but see, the devil's a liar. I know you know that, and you know these scriptures, but see, there's something happens when you start walking in them and doing them. The power of God starts increasing in your life and increasing and increasing and increasing. Why? Because all that old stuff is falling away from you. You're not walking in it anymore. You're starting to see what the Father has for you. That's why every day you should ask, Father, show me what you have for me today. The favor of God goes with me everywhere I go. The favor of God is upon me. You open doors that no man can open. You shut doors that no man can close. Yeah. Yeah, let's look at that one. A lot of people, when they pray, that heard the story of a man that he was a tenant on a basically a big piece of property that had mansions and rolling acres and many, many barns and things like that. And he had received a piece of paper. He never read the paper. The paper stated that he was the new owner of all that property. But he walked on the property as a tenant. There was rooms in the place that he never even went in because he's just a tenant. See, that's how a lot of Christians live their life. They live as a servant instead of a son, because they don't know what the Word says about them, what they have. Devil, not today in my family. Not today in my house. And not tomorrow. The blood of Jesus is against you. Jesus said in Mark/Brother Hagin 11, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt, it shall obey you. It's kingship. It's kingship speaking. That's why some people, it didn't work for them. They didn't see themselves with that authority. But you now know you are a priest and you are a king. You'll say to that mountain, be thou removed. Because all of heaven's backing you up, because it's right here. You take heaven with you. Everywhere you go. See, it should, as believers, it should grieve us whenever we do something wrong. The temple is here. This is the temple. Where we take this temple, see, it should cause you to look at your body differently. Yeah. Quit saying negative things about your body. It's the temple of the living God. My body's strong. My temple's strong. It's getting stronger. I walk in divine health. I don't forget your benefits. You heal all my diseases. With long life will you satisfy me. You will show me your salvation because I know your name. I know who you are. I have fellowship with you. Everywhere I go, everything I do, spend more time praying in the Spirit. Spend more time praying in the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit helps us with utterings that can't be interpreted. I was with Dr. Mize one night, Terry Mize, and Brother Mize was talking about his mother-in-law. And this is years ago, and she had some illness in her body. And she would always contact Brother Terry and have him pray for her, and the Lord would always heal her. Well, her husband passed away, and she got remarried to another Christian, but he just wasn't real strong. I mean, he was a believer, but didn't know the things we know. And so Brother Hagin was having a conference, and he told his wife, he said, why don't you call your mom up and tell her we're going to take her to this conference, and we're going to pay for everything. She won't have to pay hotel or food. We'll cover the whole thing. She said, wow, that sounds like a really good idea. So she called her mom. A few days later, Brother Terry said he asked his wife, what'd your mom say? She said, no, she's not going to go. And Terry said something hit him. He said he got so angry. He said, I walked around for days. He said, my wife, he said, she even come up and said, what's wrong with you? He was just mad. Something inside of him just was grieving. He said, I know if she'd come, the Lord would heal her. I know it. Well, they went to the conference. She didn't go. Saturday night, there was a Sunday morning. Saturday night, they come back to the room. And this back in the old days, they had the whole hotel phone, the red lights blinking. It means you got a message. His wife went in to take a shower and get ready for go to bed and get tomorrow morning. He picks up the phone and they say at the front desk, he said, I got to understand you got a message. Yeah, you're supposed to call home right now. Okay. Calls home and talks to his brother-in-law and says, your mother-in-law died. He said, what? He said, yeah, she died. And he said, you mean tell me I got to hang this phone up and tell my wife that her mom is dead? Said, we don't know what, Terry, what to tell you. We don't know what happened. So he told his wife. They decided just to leave that night, not even stay the night, just go on home. Forget it. A few days went by and he was talking to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him concerning those things that had happened. He said, you were upset because the Holy Spirit was grieving you because she was supposed to be, yes, she was supposed to be there. He said, well, then why didn't she listen? He said, the Lord told him, he said, it's real simple, spiritual authority. He said, what do you mean by that? Before she got remarried, you were her spiritual head. You were her priest. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I was wondering where you were going with that. You were her priest. You could pray for her and get her healed. This is the power you have as a priest. When she remarried, her husband became her spiritual authority. You didn't have authority over her anymore. Places are important. You're in the right house. There's probably been people over the years, I don't know, I've not talked to pastor about, but there's probably people that are no longer on this earth because they left this church. And God never told them to. That's why your relationship with the Father is so important. Who you marry. Where do you go to school? Where do you work at? All those things are important. Who do we fellowship with? Better to fellowship with nobody than fellowship with evil. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. You're kings and priests. You are kings and priests. Walk in it. Colossians, it says, as you have received of Christ Jesus, so you walk in him. What have you received? You determine that. You determine that. Let's all make this confession. Heavenly Father,
I am a king
and a priest.
And a priest.
Not because I want to be.
Because
you declared me to be.
And
I will walk
as a king
and a priest
all my life.
In Jesus' name.
So help me.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's done. It's done. Now you forget and you mess up. It's real simple. You just repent. You just repent. God's stirring something up in somebody, like I said earlier. There's at least one, maybe two or three of you that he's stirring things up right now and you feel it. It seems like things had kind of just chilled out in your life, not gone dead, but the fire just wasn't as hot. Is that anybody here? Anybody here? That's the feeling that you had. You had that feeling. You don't have it now, but he stirred that up in you. You? Anybody else? Anybody else? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for that fire of God rolling into my sister's life, stirring it up. Burn all the chaff, all the wheat away. In Jesus' name, let the fire of heaven be upon her. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm getting to that age where I'm not going to retire. I'm just going to refire. I'm just going to refire. I'm not going to retire. That's what happens to a lot of people is they retire and they just think it's done. No, you know, it's time to refire. You've got all these years that God put things in you. Got time for one more story? One more story. There's things that God put in you and me. It's taken him years to get in. Don't go throw it away. Don't go just set it down and say, well, I want to do something else. That's what the enemy wants you to do. That's where you get in trouble. There was a woman, and this is where the things of God are holy, and you've got to understand, we've got to start being skillful about the things of God being holy. She's called the female Smith Wigglesworth. She was actually Smith Wigglesworth's spiritual granddaughter. Her name is Mama Jenkins. Mama Jenkins even ministered to presidents of this country, not recent ones. She's in heaven now. But Smith had prophesied when she's 5 years old, he said, your daughter is hearing from heaven. Her dad would spank her because she would tell him things that angels had told her and they would come to pass. And he would continue to spank her until they got in front of Smith Wigglesworth, and Wigglesworth told him, look, your daughter is hearing from heaven and God's mad at you. Quit spanking her. But Wigglesworth prophesied and said, you won't really fully enter the greatness of your ministry that God has for you till you're 64. Now, she did a lot of things in her younger years, but things really took off when she got older. And she had happened to her, to me, outside of A.A. Allen. Now, that's a pretty big miracle. You know, the 26 diseases, that was pretty big. Next to that, I put Mama Jenkins. She had conjoined twins separated in a meeting she was doing. God separated them. So this group of ministers wanted to ask her about that miracle. And this one pastor had kind of, because she was a very, especially when she got older, she didn't want to mess around with people. If you weren't interested in God, she didn't want to talk to you. I kind of find myself even getting like that. If people aren't interested in the Lord, I just walk away, leave them alone. Unless the Holy Spirit tells me otherwise. Anyway, I'm not trying to put myself in light of her. I'm not. Anyway, this pastor finally got her to agree to a meeting. She said, I want you to sit down with this and basically share how the Lord's used you over the years. Really, I want to hear the story of the conjoined twins. Now, he didn't tell her that, but that's what he was working toward. So I think there was like 10 or 12 pastors. They all got together. They got Mama Jenkins to come to this hotel, real nice hotel, and they had a meal. And after the meal was over with, they started talking about the Lord. And she started to open up. Said it took a while for her to even open up to him. Because, again, if you're playing around, she didn't want to talk. She didn't mess with you. She'd go home. And They were just about, matter of fact, the pastor said, let me ask you one question. We all are here because we want to hear about this special miracle. The miracle of the conjoined twins. And when he said that, one of the pastors sitting at the table around them, there was a waiter that come by. And he picked up his glass and took his spoon and tapped on the glass, meaning, give me some more. Mama Jenkins, seeing that, said, you're not interested in what the Father has. And she got up and left. I know that may sound harsh to people, but see, when you're spending time with the Lord, there's a separation that comes. Be holy because I'm holy. Not talking about having an attitude, but see, there's a separation that takes place when you spend so much time with the Lord. You've seen that with Elijah and Elisha. When Elijah goes to Elisha out in the field, right, and anoints him to come with him, and Elisha says, let me bury my parents first. And Elijah says, what's it to me? Do what you got to do. I mean, you can almost see the attitude as you're reading that scripture. Why? Because things of God were important. And probably Elisha had experienced that before. People said they were interested, but they weren't. But to see, Elisha was different because he immediately stopped what he was doing. He killed the oxen and barbecued them right there. There was no turning back. He said, I'm following you. I'm coming. I don't need to stick around. See, you got to make that kind of decision with the Lord. Follow him, no matter what. And I know you all in here are. I'm not saying you're not. But see, this is what we have to stir people up to do. Amen? Stir them up. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. God has put things into us over the years, many, many years. He's poured stuff into each of us. Don't let it set. I was thinking back when I first started really walking with God. Brother Don Grimwood, who's in heaven now. But Don Grimwood was the first Christian I ever knew that started talking to me about miracles. And my upbringing was, that didn't happen. Then I got hooked up with Pastor Gene Hayden. And that man changed my life. He changed the city. His words are still moving things around here. Still moving. See, your words will remain too. If you abide in him and he abides in you, he's the vine, you're the branches. The branches cannot produce fruit by themselves. The branches produce fruit because they're attached to the vine. The life is flowing through the vine to them. That's right. Amen? Amen? I hope you got something tonight. I believe you did. Amen. Something that'll take it to the next level. Amen. Open doors. Amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.